Our first guest of the morning, though, is Tony Giles. Tony's from Tynmouth, and he's got an amazing story. He's blind and partially deaf, but he backpacks solo around the world. He's just returned from a trip to Antarctica, where he was the first blind and deaf person to set foot on this barren continent. And he's written a book about it. He's actually signing copies of it in Waterstones in Plymouth today. So if you're out and about shopping in the city, you might like to go into that shop and meet him. But he's popped in to see us. Tony, hi. Welcome to the programme.
Hi, thank you.
What made you start travelling? What was the first trip you did and why?
Travelling was a natural progression for me. I got sent to a boarding school in Coventry at the age of 10, and I wanted to come home as much as possible to see my family.
Right.
So it was just a natural progression. Then I got the opportunity to go to America with a school when I was 16. I went to Boston, which I talk about in my book, Seeing the World My Way. And then after that, a friend who's got a similar eye condition and I decided we'd backpack and start travelling, going to concerts, staying in hostels. But it really started when I got the opportunity to study abroad as part of my degree. I did an American Studies degree when I was 20, 21.
You travel alone a lot, don't you?
Yes.
And I think that's what most of us who can see and who have our hearing, even from, I was trying to think about it today, from the time you get to the airport and we would look for the check-in desk and then we'd look for the departures.
Yes.
And then how do you manage all that on your own and with your disabilities?
Well, you're not really on your own because, especially in England, you get assistance everywhere you go. So when you get a train from, say, Tynmouth down to London, you book assistance onto the train, someone will meet you, put you on. Hopefully meet you at the other end. And then you'll go through to the airport, someone will meet you there. So it's, and then you book a flight, you get assistance through the gate onto your flight. And then someone will meet you usually at the other end.
So it's planning.
Yeah, it's planning. That's what you have to do. I've got Braille maps of every continent, so I can touch and feel the continents. And then I do my research by using the internet. I got speech software on the computer,
right,
which is how I studied. So I plan, I do my research, and then, yeah. And then after that, it's who you meet, people suggest places, and, yeah, it's word of mouth. But, yeah, planning is key if you're disabled.
And do you find most people in general are helpful and kind and happy to help?
Yeah, I mean, the kindness and generosity I've had shown to me around the world is staggering.
Really?
Yeah, people take me home, cook me dinner.
In what countries has that been?
Mozambique, Australia, America. Yeah, lots of different places. I've had people not refuse to take my money when I wanted to pay for my accommodation in hostels.
My goodness. And how heartwarming that is, because so many of us, and I will include myself in this, have had travel experiences where you feel like you're constantly battling against people wanting to rip you off,
yeah,
basically. And, you know, sometimes you feel quite threatened. But you have, from the sound of it, a completely different experience. Have you had any times when you felt vulnerable?
I never felt vulnerable apart from in Caracas, Venezuela. It's probably the most dangerous city I've been to. Just lack of infrastructure. And I speak a little Spanish, but it's not good enough in Venezuela. But that's probably the only place. Oh, yeah, I've had things stolen. I've had money pickpocketed. The worst probably event was, which I talk about in my next book, was I camping in Canada up in the Yukon. And I went out for the day to meet some friends I'd met. And I come back. My tent and backpack have been stolen.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What did you do?
Well, I kind of pitched it next to a little gravel path so I could find it with my feet and my stick at night. And I was walking up and down this path thinking, I can't find this tent. I must be missing it. So eventually I managed to stop someone on the side of the road at 11 o'clock at night. I said, I'm looking for my tent. They couldn't believe it. Just came and had a look and it's gone. So he took me to the Salvation Army for the night and then...
And they helped you.
Yeah. That's part of travelling.
Yes, it is. For anybody, isn't it?
Yeah, for anybody. I've met people who've been knifed, I've been shot, and that's never happened to me. And I'm, in theory, more vulnerable than a lot of people.
Do you, you also travel on quite a tight budget, don't you? So anyone who thinks, oh, well, you must be paying for sort of super luxury and helping, we've just obviously heard you were camping and with a tent, but even when you're paying for accommodation, you go for the budget, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, staying in hostels, couch surfing now, which I couch surf in South America.
Couch, yeah, I've heard of this. This is kind of an internet phomenon, isn't it, where people... What do? They literally offer if they've got a couch.
Yeah, basically, you've got a couch or a bed in the spare room or a bed on the floor. And basically, they offer a bed for two or three nights. And some people offer you to take you around or just... It's just a social network, really, of sharing cultures around the world.
I bet you've made lots of really long-term friends, haven't you? Do you keep in touch with lots of people that you meet travelling?
Yeah, I try to. I've got my own website called TonyTheTraveller.com, which I set up about 5-6 years ago to, you know, to promote myself and also meet people, and obviously with Facebook now. And I actually met my girlfriend through my website,
really?
Who's Greek, and she's blind as well. So you can imagine, try and imagine just me travelling around blind with my stick, but now there's two of us with stick. It's even more hilarious.
So you're actually becoming a bit of a celebrity by the sound of it. A bit of people know you on the circuit.
I wouldn't like to say that.
Well, maybe one day. And you've written the book, of course, which is going to get more people knowing about your travels and probably wanting to meet you, actually, as you go around.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's my mum's idea to write a book. She said, you should write a book so all my friends can see how you travel. And then a kind of a second idea was, well, it's not necessary to say to someone, look, go around, travel around the world. But if I can encourage someone who's got a disability, an obvious one or not, just to, you know, encourage them to do something they think they can't do, whether it, you know, just go down the street and shop or whatever their challenge is.
Mm. I couldn't agree more. Let's hope if you achieve that, then that is an absolutely wonderful achievement.
Yeah.
So many questions I want to ask you. We're going to have a piece of music now. Actually, if anyone listening has got anything you want to ask Tony about his travels, he's been to, I don't know, well, you're only 30 now, but how many countries have you been to so far?
I've been to 60 countries and every continent in the world.
Okay, so if anybody wants to ask you anything about a country, you've probably been there. If anyone listening has a disability and wants to ask you a question about travelling, then do text us or you can email me and I'll put the question to Tony.
No problem.
Because he seems to be an absolute font of wisdom on this. It's janet.kipling@bbc.co.uk or text us on 81333. Start the text with Devon. Or you can give us a call 0845 301 1034. Amazing story. Tony Giles from Tynmouth is my guest for this part of the programme. And we'll have a piece of music from the Lighthouse family now.
Love Life.
Love BBC Radio Devon.
And my first guest of the morning is Tony Giles from Tynmouth, unfolding his amazing story. He's blind and partially deaf. He's been to about 50 countries backpacking pretty much solo a lot of the time around the world. Tony, you had an amazing education, didn't you, which you, in your book, you credit with giving you confidence, I suppose. Is it just confidence or the skills as well to be able to do what you've done?
Confidence and the skills to use the stick, the skills to get buses and trains. But the key is the confidence.
Mm.
You've got confidence, you'll do anything.
And tell me a little bit about that education. It was a special school for the disabled, wasn't it?
Yeah,
near Coventry?
It's a special school for the blind, visually impaired, and eventually other disabled children. Yeah, but in Coventry. And I think one of the biggest things for me was that by the time I went there, 89, 1990, they were taking on other children with other disabilities. So I learned from a young age that being blind and deaf wasn't the biggest problem in the world. I had friends with muscular dystrophy who couldn't walk, you know, couldn't do anything for themselves. So it was a big educational learning curve for me at a young age.
And that gave you the confidence to look at what you could do, I suppose, rather than what you couldn't.
Yeah.
Mm. And your travelling has obviously just been an incredible experience for you. Do you think you're going to keep going? Is this going to be what you do? Because you've done a master's degree, you've fitted in all sorts of other things, but it seems to be the travelling and the writing about it and the website and everything that's captured you now.
This is my passion. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. My goal is to reach every country in the world.
How many are there?
Roughly about 259, depending.
Okay, so you've done a fifth now. So still a lot more to go. Tell me a couple of the highlights in terms of looking back at experiences. What were some of the most amazing experiences you've had?
New Zealand, bungee jumping and skydiving in New Zealand, as I talk about in my book, Seeing the World My Way. People ask me what's my favourite country, and I say New Zealand for a couple of reasons. The people are fantastic. They're so laid back, just willing to take me down a pub or throw me off bridges.
We were talking about that earlier, actually. We had a couple on who were doing a skydive today.
Oh, great.
I guess one of the things is they can see the ground. Did you get the same level of fear from that? Because obviously you couldn't really see where you were going.
No.
Did you just think, whatever?
I just thought whatever, especially with bungee jumping, which I really enjoy. I've done 12. And people say, oh, I couldn't do a bungee jumping. I said, well, I've got an advantage. I can't see the ground. And I was doing it when I was like 21, 22, and I didn't really worry too much about what happened. Whether I crashed and burned or not really back then. So.
Any countries you didn't like and you wouldn't want to go back to?
Possibly Armenia. I went there last year, and it can be quite clicky at times. It's run by business people who are trying to make money from backpackers. I appreciate it's a very poor country. Possibly not. And Uruguay, I didn't find that interesting. It wasn't a lot of real interest to see. Nice people, good food, but nothing really outstanding.
I wanted to ask you that because most of us who have our sight and when we do travel, we experience our travels. Actually, I was thinking about it really quite visually. Okay, there's the food, and you mentioned the food, and we all like to experience the food, don't we? And that's very important when you're on holiday. So I guess that's something. But we take photographs, we buy souvenirs or whatever to bring home, we shoot little video film, we look at views, we look at famous landmarks. What do you bring with you in terms of experiences, and how do you experience a country? How does it register in your memory?
I experience country through the food, through the music, through the people I meet.
Smells?
Yeah, the smell, certainly. I mean, I talk about Bangkok, and it's still the most remarkable city I've ever been for smell, for atmosphere, for noise, humidity, pollution, all hitting you at once. I mean, travelling's not just about seeing; it's about engaging all the senses, and that's how you really experience a country completely. But it comes back to the people, meeting the people, talking to them, engaging with them, and that's how you really appreciate a country. But I also like walking. I like to say New Zealand's my favourite country. Iceland, Alaska. Mm. I like isolation, the rugged terrain, the wind in my face.
And I'm wondering, actually, whether, because you need to engage with people, you have those experiences, sometimes more than sighted people, that you meet more people and become closer, in a way, to the local people and what the country is about than some of us who maybe just sail in, see things, and we're out again.
Yeah, hopefully. That's what I try to get. I'm lucky, I can't see, because it gives me a different level. It's all about different experiences.
Tony, it's been great meeting you, and you're off to your book signing now.
Yeah.
That's at Waterstones in Plymouth.
Yeah, I'm in the Drake Circus from 11 a.m. till about 3 p.m. this afternoon.
Great. So if you want to go and meet him, then please do. I know he'll be happy to see you. For anybody who isn't there, the website is tonythetraveller.com.
Yeah, tonythetraveller.com with two L's in traveller.
Lovely. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and best of luck with your next trip. Where are you going next? Where's the next one?
I'm off to Rome on Monday to meet my girlfriend. And then we're off to the States for 3 weeks in September.
Have a wonderful time, you lucky thing.
Thank you very much.
Cheerio. Bye-bye.